LSU.
Around left hand, he has a block. He's at the 10.
Tigers Western Division title defense begins inside Jordan-Hare Stadium.
Pass is caught! Touchdown!
Auburn is dominating this game.
Coverage begins Saturday at 11:30 a.m. on your home for Auburn football.
On your official Auburn football station, FM Talk 106.5.
This is not a storm that you need to try and ride out. It is one of those storms that is historic and maybe once in a lifetime.
Right, 807 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday. That's North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper talking about Hurricane Florence as sitting, give or take, 575 miles southeast of Cape Fear, North Carolina. Due to impact, I've heard a bunch of different timelines out there on impact, but our staff meteorologist and tropical weather expert sees it still as tomorrow night, overnight into Friday. So it's still, because I heard Friday into Saturday from others. He's still, he says those things could change, of course, but as it is right now, he's saying it's a Thursday night into Friday. It will then even slow down some more and continue to dump rain at levels like Hurricane Harvey did. But the difference is, too, once you get in inland from the low country there, you immediately, like, difference between Houston and the Texas Gulf Coast, you don't exactly pick up, topography. You don't get elevation as you go inland of any note for a long, 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 long way. Where on the Carolina coast, you go in and you hit the foothills and the Appalachians, and now that's going to squeeze more water. And that's why some people, not all, but some people calling for as much as 40 inches of rain in some of these areas. You think about what happened in places like Houston. You think about what happened to our friends over around Baton Rouge and Zachary, Louisiana, and all those places with that that rain. You're going to have the increased rainfall, and then you're going to have, as the rain's trying to get out back into the Atlantic, you'll have the storm surge coming up to hold it back. So it's going to be a icy situation for the next few days.
And let's not forget our friends in Puerto Rico who had to deal with, the remnants of that storm that they dealt with. It scares me because, as we all keep up to date as to what's going on, and as you said, it can change, but there are still people who are refusing to evacuate. And so I saw an interview with General Honore, who said, I believe it was Honore, who said, let me take that back. It was on NBC, and they said, basically, if you don't want to leave, be sure that your will is up to date.
Right. Like, well, they use these things. So we were talking about this yesterday with Sheriff Sam Cochran when he was in, of these tactics. They've used them before, that, hey, we're ordering more body bags. Hey, here's toe tags for people. Would you write? I think the sheriff said they would ask people, write your Social Security number and Sharpie marker on yourself. These are scare tactics, all right? I mean, they're scare tactics to get people to evacuate.
It worked on me.
Well, and if it works on folks, that's good. That's the effect. But people do have the right, mandatory evacuation still don't mean they're going to forcibly remove you from your home. What it does mean is they're not going to use and risk assets to come get you if the storm gets too bad.
So you're agreeing that even though you are up to date on all the dire conditions, that you're choosing to keep you and your family in place, and that whatever happens, happens.
It does. But there is some nuance to it. I think we're doing a better job these days of having evacuations make sense, because the more you cry wolf and have evacuations when you don't need it. Because I was looking up a story yesterday, because I was thinking, well, I remember when Governor Bentley did this, and I'm not saying he was the only one, but he did it in, I think it was 2012. Okay. And we had what was then, by the way, Isaac. It was Tropical Storm Isaac, just like we have an Isaac now. So I guess a 6-year rotation for the names to come back. But this was 2012. Isaac was coming in. And the governor had called for mandatory evacuations in Mobile County. And there are, I think, 4 or 5 zones in Mobile County. But he had moved the zones up, not just Dauphin Island, not just Bala Batri and Coden. He was moving, up to Theodore and stuff. I'm like, when you do that, and the sheriff said they have done a better job now with the state talking to them at a local level to find out what's real, because you'll have these people that put these blanket evacuation orders in. They'll say, storm surge is coming, and if you're below I-10, the storm surge could get you. Sure, there are plenty of areas around south of I-10 that it could get you. There's a whole bunch of areas south of I-10 where it won't do. The storm surge is not going to get you. Mm-hmm. So you have to use local knowledge to those areas. And there are areas that are prone to flooding. There's areas sometimes that aren't prone to flooding that can still flood. But there's also areas I was redlined by USAA insurance on our homeowners insurance. I was redlined because of, they said, well, you're X number of miles from the coast. Okay, y'all, I live near the University of South Alabama. Mm-hmm. The elevation, according to the topo map at my house, is 132 feet above sea level. 132.
And I remember telling them. The fact that you know that, kudos.
Well, I sent that on to them and said, you know, I said, when the storm surge gets me, Noah's riding the surfboard on the front of this baby, you know? And they still said, well, we can't do anything about it. It's, you're in that zone.
Well, also with evacuations, and Sean, you were mentioning earlier the length of time that you heard from...
WSB out of Atlanta was saying this morning that they were telling folks in that area, they said the people, they're contraflowing, so they've got their roads all heading west, right? The way we will contraflow to go north. In other words, all lanes, like 65, both sets of lanes will go north.
That's eerie to me.
Okay. Well, they're doing the same thing going west, but they said prepare yourself. The last 50 to 100 miles may take you half a day or a whole day to go that distance.
That's unbelievable. Wow. And reading some stories about people getting ready to evacuate, you know, in this story that we have linked through on FMTalk1065.com, a woman from Cary, North Carolina, which is quite a bit inland. I mean, it's not on the coast, but it'll still be affected by the storm. But she said she drove around an hour looking for gas in that town, which is no tiny town.
Yeah.
And she said they were completely out. And then if you're not planning on driving to get out of the storm, if you want to take a plane, American and Southwest Airlines, they're canceling flights to and from the hurricane zone starting today. I'm not sure exactly what time today, but then Charleston International Airport is closing runways by midnight tonight. That's their plan. So it's actually pretty difficult to get out of there.
And some of the airlines Monday were tweeting heads up, if you want to make your changes now without any type of penalty, this is the best time because you have the options. And you think about that, you may not be going to that state that's impacted, but that could be your layover state. So that's going to impact so many cities, so many counties. President Trump, of course, has declared states of emergency for North and South Carolina and Virginia, which of course opens the way for federal aid. This is coming to us from, and I know we talk about it, but just reminding everyone, Associated Press is reporting that the federal government is, this is what the president says, absolutely, totally prepared for Florence.
Yep.
All three states have ordered mass evacuations along the coast. But, of course, as Dalton just mentioned, getting those necessary supplies are now proving to be an issue because there are some people who are procrastinators, right?
Yeah, and yes.
And there's some places that we're not ready. Because if you're not used to something like this, if you've seen it on TV or you heard about it, it's a totally different ball game.
It
when
is.
When you're in it.
And in all due fairness, I've thought about this trying to, like I do, put myself in somebody else's shoes. If I had moved somewhere and I hadn't grown up there, you know, I'd probably err on the side of caution. When you know an area, you have a better sense of when you evacuate or not. Because on the flip side, there are stories where people have evacuated to a place that ends up being affected by the storm, too. Now they're in a hotel with no power. You know what I'm saying? They're a hotel. Mm-hmm. So, and they were talking about this, that, you know, they could be without power for weeks and weeks. And one of the reasons we talked about this is, I think yesterday, maybe it was off the air yesterday, I know Mark Holliday was in on the conversation, and the sheriff. We're talking about Frederick in 79 here. And how many, and Katrina brought down a lot of trees in our area, but nothing like Frederick in 79. And because we had gone a long time without a big storm before that, and you get a certain volume of trees that, you know, that are going to come down. And so with it being so long, I think Hugo was the last storm to really impact this area. You've got a lot of trees there that may be ready to come down, and you get these stronger winds. That's going to be an issue as well, because that affects getting power back on. We got crews from all over going out there, but if you've got if you've got 50 pine trees down in a road, it takes a while to clear that and get the crews in there. So you know, there's a lot of issues there if you decide to leave or not. I they seem to throw a blanket over everybody who doesn't evacuate and call them all like adventure junkies or fools or whatever. But there are people that absolutely know where they are, that home, how it's built, where the water goes, where it doesn't go, that make those decisions. Business owners want to be there, because when you evacuate everybody, a lot of times the people that do stay back are the looters or the people who are not going to do right.
You protect your interests.
If you have a business, a house, and all that. Obviously, you don't do that if you're on a barrier island in North Carolina. No, you don't do that. But if you're inland some, and you know you have some topography where you know you're outside of a surge, you go, okay, we're going to get 20 feet of surge. My house sits at 61 feet, you know.
And you make sure your family members are where they need to be so that you can concentrate. Definitely. That means you have a game plan. Let me ask you this, though. With all of your experience, and I know during these times we talk about here are the must-haves when it comes to important supplies. So with all of your outdoorsmen, you know, knowledge, name the top three things that you say you should have in your arsenal.
beer, liquor, wine. No,
I knew it.
Beef jerky.
I would say the top three. I mean, this is just growing up here. It was always water, number one. And y'all know, if you grew up like me, every bathtub, everything you could fill was filled with water beforehand to have that reserve of water. Back then, it was questionable whether water would be messed up. That's not as big a problem anymore, but it can still happen, water service. You saw it from Katrina. So we would have that. We would have generator and gasoline, you know, to go on for days and all that. And freezing ice blocks beforehand. Every one of the containers we'd get the same way we'd freeze shrimp, the old, I guess that's a half-gallon cardboard milk containers. This is from back in the old days. Fill those with water and freeze them. They'd make the blocks that we would use for our old school, back before the Yetis and all the high-tech coolers we had. They're just
back
the old igloos.
Google.
Yes, we had the old igloos.
And if you don't have the generator, or even if you do, a new addition to the thing you must have if you're going to ride out a storm, or one of those pre-charged phone chargers.
Yes.
Go ahead and load that up. That way,
smart.
If you're out of power for a few days or even longer, you'll be able to keep that phone rolling.
And that's what I was going to ask you, with your experience from a digital standpoint, what would you recommend to people? Because I keep our phone chargers always ready, and I know I can also charge in the car, which some cars don't allow that when they're not running. But from a digital standpoint, your recommendation?
That's about all I can think of. And then also a weather radio is very important.
And we talk about that all the time.
Yeah.
You should have one of those going. Even though your phone has the apps to do it, also have that NOAA weather radio in the house. But I was going to say, and that's more for tornadoes, things for me, then that's important, because things that happen while you're asleep or not paying attention, it's where those weather radios and those apps on the phone work. But you're talking about the charging issue. I keep those chargers all around because I spend so much time off the grid. Charge those up, but I also have solar ones that do solar and can build the battery that way. So just a side note. Well, we'll continue to talk a little bit about the storm heading towards the Carolinas. Also, it looks like still lots of texts coming in about their favorite video games. We hadn't even gotten your favorite video game when we get back. It's National Video Games Day.
I know.
That's the real reason you need a generator during the storm.
Right.
To be able to keep playing video games.
You're always making sense.
Add your Bruce Lee post.
No. 820 FM Talk 106.5. You can see the post that led to that over on Twitter at FM Talk 106.5. We're coming right back. Thank you, Kane. 824 FM Talk 106.5. Heading for high in the 90s today. Sitting right at 78 at our studios. By the way, front page of FMTalk1065.com. You can check out three big things, the stories we're talking about, you need to know about today. Of course, Monster Hurricane Florence aiming to drench the Carolinas, Alabama power crews heading to help after Florence, and the bigger, pricier, imagine that, iPhone expected at Apple event today. I think three of them to be debuted. Also on there, the online opinion poll question brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. We asked this yesterday, left it up to get all the votes in, and here's how it stands. The question was, with today being the 17th year since 9/11, some Americans were asking if September 11th should become a federal holiday. 74% of respondents said yes, it should be a federal holiday. So that's the poll. I'm getting choked up, man.
And that doesn't really square up with a poll that you had yesterday that was more of a national poll, where a majority of the respondents said that they did not think that it should be a national holiday. So I didn't expect us to have a 74% yes.
I think the people with a good heart are the ones voting for the yes, because they're seeing it in the most purest of ways. They're not thinking about the mattress sales, like you always say, and the different BOGOs on a day like, oh, that's so disrespectful.
Yeah, agreed. Online opinion poll question brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. You need junk gone? I got a guy for you. His name's Trey. He's a buddy of mine. He works in commercial properties, residential properties. Hey, you got to get a house ready to sell. You got to get a storage unit cleaned out. He's your guy. 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
That's right. Trey Bennett and the crew, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
Because I've lost my voice.
Are you thinking about all the junk that you have to get hauled away?
No, don't even get me started.
We all have some.
Don't even get me started. Oh, and somebody said, what about the crack pipe? Okay, let's see if I can...
The crack?
I stay choked up about this. Okay, here
Pretty
it is.
Pretty upset about the story.
Yeah, story from ABC7 in New York says a crack pipe vending machine... Actually... plural, crack pipe vending machines have popped up in three towns on Long Island. Now people have figured out what they are. They're freaking out. Here it is exactly what happened. Three towns on Long Island, New York, Brookhaven, Coram, and Medford. A few weeks ago, somebody installed what seemed to be, y'all, a crack pipe vending machine in all three towns. The machines claim, here we go. I'm going to get on a rant here. The machines claim they're selling pens for $2, but they're really not pens. They're a glass tube, a filter, and some ink. In theory, you could put those things together to make a pen, but people really know they throw out the ink and use the pipe and filter for smoking crack.
These are vending machines, you're saying?
That is correct.
So what happens to that one guy who pays or woman who pays and it gets stuck, you know, halfway through and you're like trying to get your product out, so you try to shake
This is a solid question,
you know,
because
who do you call?
I've recounted many, many stories upstairs, second floor here in our building, where I use the shoulder, or I come from a three-point stance like we were running Oklahoma's in football practice, right, and hit the vending machine to knock loose the overpriced peanuts.
The mama hip?
I don't do that.
That will get you out of many situations.
I have no hips. I'm narrow.
Those hips
narrow
don't
taper.
Lie.
Yeah, they do. I have a narrow taper. So I use the shoulder where I'm thicker through to knock the things loose. But you're right. What happens if you have a crackhead who has got to get a pipe?
Mm-hmm.
They may devour the machine trying to get to it.
There's probably more arms stuck in those four vending machines than any vending machine.
And you don't mean just stuck, you mean left. Were they chewed off to get down the road for the next hit? No one's quite sure who installed the machines, but people in all three towns are freaking out about them. The cops investigating where they came from say they could possibly file criminal charges. A councilman from Brookhaven says, quote, to sell a pipe is not illegal, but this is considered drug paraphernalia. It's also being dispensed from a machine that was installed illegally per town code. There you go. Get them on code. This happens here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this one, they're pretending they're pens that turn into crack pipes. Remember what they sold around here were flowers in a glass vase, and it wasn't until a buddy of mine in law enforcement said, you know what that's for? And I said, you're in trouble or something? He said, no, it's idiot, it's a crack pipe.
Mm-hmm.
I was so naive. This has been 20 years ago. I was like, really? He said, yeah, that's what that's for. And then you go into the stores now. They still sell things like that, or they sell the pipes. Will be like, for tobacco use only.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come on. Either just get over yourself or enforce things. I mean, as soon as a law is put in, as soon as you hear somebody in government tell you we're going to pass a law to solve a problem, the free market figures a way around it.
How did I miss all that? I must be so guilty of staring at the big league chew or something.
Because I've walked into, and maybe it's just the gas stations I go to, but it seemed for a while there that every single gas station had those pipes.
They have the pipes, they have the fake lotto ticket things, and now they have, I've been ranting about this for a while, and waiting for this to catch on where other people have noticed it. They have this fake liquor.
Oh,
yes. Because it's qualified as a wine, mm-hmm. but it's put in like a bottle and a label to almost look like different brands of liquor. Mm-hmm. It's like the gin version or the vodka version or the whiskey version.
The switcheroo.
And mm-hmm. I asked, I mean, a year or something ago, I said, how are you doing this? They said, well, it's not liquor. It's mm-hmm. wine. As soon as you put laws in, and you're going to always hear your governing body say, oh, we're going to put a law in to find, there's going to be some way around it. It's going to be somebody selling fake pens or fake liquor or, you know.
But not the pens that when you go to the doctor's office or your kid's school, they don't want you to walk away with those pins and they put the flower at the end of it. Not those pins.
No, and you should see the collection of those I have. It looks like a bouquet.
They're going to put a hubcap on
it's
yours.
Fantastic. Looks like a beautiful bouquet.
Like,
but y'all know
station.
What I'm talking about? I mean, you go into the gas station and whether it's the big pipes that say, oh, well, this is for tobacco or this glass vase is for your flower or this is not wine but it's whiskey. Once again, make a bunch of laws and watch the market find a way around it.
They always will find a way around it.
Just pay at the pump.
Good point, but I gotta get me a soda pop when I go inside.
Great pickle!
Coming right back. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday. By the way, I am I'm emceeing the judging of bartenders this evening. I'm gonna tell you about that. I feel like I might have been typecast in this, but I'm just going to give you more details what's going on tonight down at Alchemy Tavern as I'm emceeing this event where I'm hoping, well, we'll get to it in a second. I'm hoping I see people do the spinning of the bottles and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I'll show you my age once again. I was made fun of on the video game thing for being a child of the 80s. Uh-huh. I hope it's like the movie Cocktail where they do all the twirling around Tom the bottles Cruise. And all that stuff.
And where they put the shot glasses on top and like dominoes push the shot right. glasses down. Yeah, all those cool moves.
I want to see those tricks.
Are you going to be like Coyote Ugly and jump on the bar and dance like Tyra Banks?
Let me see. Go down the list. Am I going to be like, no? Am I going to dance like Tyra Banks? Do you think I have the ability or the body to dance?
I don't
dance
know.
Like,
I was thinking about the vending machine move that you have now coined.
I learned that and starting in CYO football, running Oklahoma drills. That's how you knock the vending machine with the right shoulder.
Oh, my gosh. My husband played in the CYO league.
Yeah,
they
CYO,
were fierce.
CYO was big time. Saturday yeah. mornings. Come on. Okay. I got to tell you something before we get further into this, and I do want to talk a little bit more about people are asking questions about evacuations and putting some tips up here as we think about those people in the Carolinas. But I was looking at this, the interest rate nationally. You know what happens here? So we have inflationary pressures out there. You see it in home loans. You see it in other kind of secured loans out there. The rate continues to go up. Economy gets better, rate goes up. Well, guess what? That means credit card or unsecured debt, those rates are going up higher and higher all the time. About 18% average nationally, and I'm sure you can easily find numbers higher than that. Have you looked at your credit card statement? You've been shocked by that interest rate? Did you know you could actually roll all your credit card debt into one monthly payment at a lower fixed interest rate? The folks at LightStream are offering credit card consolidation loans from 5.89% APR with autopay. Think about it, 18-20% versus 5.89. I was not a math major, but seems to work for me. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000. You can even get your funds as soon as the day you apply. Now, LightStream believes that people with good credit, y'all think about this, you've worked your tail off for good credit. People with good credit deserve a great interest rate and no fees. And by the way, too, if this makes you happy around Arbor Day, they plant a tree for every new loan they fund. So they're planting trees and making deals. You can get a special discount on top of that already low rate when you go to lightstream.com/Sullivan. That's my last name, Sullivan. And the website, LIGHTSTREAM.com. So lightstream.com/Sullivan. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Sullivan for more information. All right, and we can grab some calls and text on this as well. A couple items up here to talk about. Number one, let's run through the text line, and let's see here.
And I would just wanted to add, as you're looking for that, that we are not forgetting about the pets. We know that during evacuations, that's very important. Many people count their pets as their family members. And in this article, they talk about the various shelters that have been set up that are receiving the dogs and the cats in Norfolk, Virginia, two shelters in Washington making place for the pets. And then, Dalton, you were talking about the Barrier Island.
Yeah, I was reading this morning that apparently there are wild horses on the Barrier Islands out there past Carolinas, and they're not going to try to bring the wild horses off of those, but said they're expected to survive. I'm not sure how they can go ahead and say, you know, expect them to survive, because you have no idea what's going to happen.
Right. It depends on where it hits, depends on how high the storm surge gets. I'll tell you, it would be I made a peanut joke last hour, and then I'm going to get myself in trouble this hour as
already
well,
know.
Because those are not wild horses, those are feral horses. So they're not supposed to be there. They're not part of the environment. People love them, just like out west. And I'm going to do a show one day on the midday show when y'all figure out how much money the federal government is spending on feral horses in the west and then taking them off land in the west and paying to have them pastured back in the east.
Uh-huh. Why?
Because there's a note, because a bill passed in the 70s said you couldn't kill them. You had to keep them, the Horse and Burrow Act.
So we've basically made our own Australia, and
correct.
We're putting the wild
is
horses.
Is Fabio head of this?
Yes, with his long mane.
I can't believe it.
But yeah, so the horses there, I mean, number one, how the heck with all the priorities, you round them up? Second of all, I know it's, and we have horses. We have, when people say, oh, that horse went to a farm to live out the rest of his life, a rodeo or a cutting horse. Mm-hmm. We're actually that farm. We have those horses.
Oh, my gosh.
And, which follow me around like a dog.
They love you.
At the same time, these are feral horses on islands where they're not supposed to be. So as a priority, mm-hmm. that has to be further down the list.
And when I was a kid, and we had horses, I grew up in a cowboy family a little bit. We like to go out and rodeo and stuff. But I would always feel bad as a child for the horses because they would have to, unless they were able to get into the barn, which we did have a barn, but many times they wouldn't even go into the barn. Mm-hmm. They would just stand out in the rain during the storm, and I would feel bad for them. But horses are tough. Livestock mm-hmm. are tough animals. They can usually take things like this, no problem.
Although then, you know, we talk about evacuating too. If you're a rancher, if you have livestock, you know, you got to stay around a lot of times too.
Can I ask one more thing? And also, this is very important when it comes to our armed forces, the Navy, the Air Force, and Army, moving their ships and aircraft out of harm's mm-hmm. way, and thousands of Marines and their families who are aboard
Camp Lejeune,
Camp Lejeune, or as Marines say, Camp Lejeune. That's a big deal because a number of those Marines and of course sailors are attached as well. They're forward deployed. So you have families mm-hmm. who are there, who are left behind, you know, who have to now figure out, what am I going to do? I've got these children. I have no support. I don't have other family
members.
How do
you, because you, I mean, in a former life, you were a FRO. You're a family readiness officer with the Marine Corps. I mean, that there's some FROs that are having long days right now, I'm sure.
Oh, and this is what you prepare for. This is where, when we had the MCT, the mass communication tool, it allowed you to reach out to the families in various ways, text messaging, phone calls, emails, and you were able to, with one push of a button, you know, hit thousands, I mean, 30, 40, 50,000 mm-hmm. families, and let them know, here's what you need to know, here's where you need to go. So no more having to call people. You're reaching people in real time, but there's thousands of families who mm-hmm. are there who have nowhere to go. And if you just moved there, okay, you just got stationed there, mm-hmm. you don't even know your way around. You know, so my prayers are really with people like that, or college students who mm-hmm. don't have families there. I mean, I know some people say, okay, enough, it's not going to be that big of a deal. You have got to respect every storm. This thing is named, and it's a woman name, so you know. She is meaning business.
I don't know why they required you know, us to be gender formative for tropical weather.
That was a fantastic tweet I saw. It said, quit genderizing these storms. Let them decide what they are.
You mentioned they should be able to define as what name they want. You're talking about moving military assets. In the 7 o'clock hour, we played this cut with DefSec Mattis saying this.
We've sortied, or are in the process of sortying, our ships and aircraft out of the Norfolk area and out of the Carolinas.
You know, you think about that, and we discussed it. They did it in Hawaii not long ago. And so the best bet in talking to people in this world is in naval assets. They are at most risk in harbor during weather like this, so they take them out. So you get that call, you got to get on the ship and you got to go out. Here comes the hurricane. You got to go out into the Atlantic versus staying in harbor.
They're just better off rolling with the motion of the ocean.
Yes. Also, I want to run through, because these texts have come in here. Yes, thank you, Terry. Or how about the, because I was on this rant about the crack pipe story mm-hmm. out of Long Island. I think this is a fair rant, because you go into the gas station, go in the convenience store, and you see a bunch of stuff that is for doing illegal drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But it has to be, we have to go through this song and dance to pretend it's something else so it can be legally sold. Once again, all I'm pointing out, like I like to do, is the market figures out a way. As soon as some entity puts out a law about something, oh, you can't sell that, or you can't sell this other thing, then the market figures out some way, and it's like the whack-a-mole game. It just pops up here and there. So Terry says, how about the butane blowtorch cigarette lighter, in quotes, you know? Yeah, you're right. I mean, I guess if you have to light up that Lucky Strike in the middle of Hurricane Florence, you would need that.
I wonder how many people that are completely innocent people actually go in and buy these things that they think are for the intended purpose. Like, I wonder how many people bought potpourri a few years ago that they have spice like somewhere in their home that they think is potpourri. Or the vases you were talking about that are actually pipes.
Right, they're bringing home that flower to their significant other. Here, I love you, baby. And they'd be like, thank you for bringing me a crack pipe home.
Why do I have handcuffs on? Why am I arrested?
That's right. I mean, I was just trying to give you a flower. I don't know. It's just, it's not that I even want to have a big dragnet against these people out there, or the liquor you see that's not really liquor, that's the wine product that's designed to look like liquor that's being sold at the convenience store right there by the checkout. It's not that I'm wanting to crack down on all these people. It's just, to point out that government makes laws and the market figures out a way around them, and sometimes quite quickly. Oh, Chester. Now, Chester, that's not trying to be something else. He said, don't forget the Super Gorilla and other male enhancement pills that they sell at the cash register.
And they make you think it really works because it's behind the counter.
Right. So right? You got it, like asking a pharmacist, you know, when you ask Bob there at the convenience store to get it, it's like asking your pharmacist. No, they're not pharmacists. They're cashiers. 8:46. Coming right back.
I'm excited after the break. I'm going to tell you my favorite video game.
All right, because we have... told y'all, if you didn't hear earlier, National Video Games Day.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Kelly will lay it on us when we get back. Y'all stay close.
Hey, thank you, Kane. 8:51 on FM Talk 106.5. And this segment of Mobile Mornings is brought to you by LinkedIn. Hiring the right employee can make an amazing impact on your business. And to hire that employee, you could post to job boards and hope you'll find the right person for the job. But if you think about it, how often are you checking job boards? Why trust a chance when you can post your job to a place where people go every day to grow professionally and explore job opportunities? And 70% of the U.S. workforce is already there. I'm talking about LinkedIn. 9 out of 10 LinkedIn members are open to new opportunities, and yet most are not visiting job boards. You can only reach them on LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs intelligently targets potential candidates based on insights from their behavior on LinkedIn, and also rich profile data that you can't find on a resume, like their skills, recommendations, interests, even how open they are to new opportunities like yours. Your job gets in front of the right people. That's why a new hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn. It's the best way to find the person who will help you grow your business. And right now, if you hurry to LinkedIn.com/WAVH, you'll get $50 off your first job post right now. That's LinkedIn.com/WAVH to save $50. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, you're closer than you think.
All right, 8:52, FM Talk 106.5 to land this plane from earlier. So I have been typecast here, and I will be emceeing the, this is the Mobile Area Regional Bartender of the Year competition. So this is one of the four regional competitions throughout the state that take you for all the marbles or shot glasses or whatever you win in Birmingham later on in October. But tonight, cash prizes for first, second, and third. Additional prizes from sponsors like Old Forester, United Johnson Brothers, and Sculpture Hospitality. The winner of each region will compete October 29th at the Grand Bohemian in Mountain Brook. Not Mountain Brook, but Mountain Brook. Dated a girl for a while there that was from Mountain Brook. And I said, as a Gulf Coast boy, I used to say Mountain Brook. And they'd all look at me and say, son,
you ain't from around here.
It's Mountain Brook. I said, okay. I thought I said that. It's your chance at that event to win $1,500 cash and the coveted Bartender of the Year trophy. So tonight is the qualifier for our region. That starts at 5:30 at the Alchemy Tavern. I will be emceeing the event, and the best of the best bartenders will be showing off their stuff. So that's going on. Come out and see me. Alchemy Tavern tonight.
Are one of the parts of the competition, would it be listening to problems? Can we line up people with the worst?
Cheers, like the Cheers Award?
Yes.
That'll be like, you know, in a pageant, in a beauty pageant, and they will have the, what is that section where they have the
talent? Or?
Yeah, well, no, there's other than talent. They're like personality.
They got rid of the swimsuit, you know.
Yeah.
And the ratings dropped.
Yes,
no, they didn't. Mm. They actually were better this year.
Really?
Yes, Miss New York won.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't watch though.
I think it's personality or whatever. Interview. Mm-hmm. Interview. It's called. So that would be the interview segment of it, where they'd go, all right, so somebody walks in and tells you, listen here, man, I got it so bad. Make me a double.
And then what do you serve them?
Right, and what answer do you give them? So maybe that'll be part of the competition. But that is tonight, 5:30, Alchemy Tavern. Love for y'all to come out and check it out. Also, we talked about today, National Video Games Day. Mm-hmm. We listed what the survey said were the top 10 favorite video games of all time. Number 10, Crash Bandicoot. Number 9, Halo. Number 8, Final Fantasy. Number 7, Sonic the Hedgehog. Number 6, Zelda. Number 5, Pokemon. Number 4, Grand Theft Auto. Number 3, Donkey Kong. Number 2, Call of Duty. And number 1, Super Mario Brothers.
I was going to say, if they didn't have Donkey Kong on there, I'd be super not happy.
Yeah, Donkey Kong for young people like you and older people like me,
yes,
it was a classic.
Yeah, and don't forget Pac-Man, Super Pac-Man, and Mrs. Pac-Man.
Okay, so let me get into that. I said Pac-Man was my favorite, but I didn't think about Super Pac-Man, but it's not Mrs. Pac-Man.
What is it?
Ms. Pac-Man.
Is it? She was not a married Pac-Man?
No, so if it's Ms. Pac-Man, let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. If it's Ms. Pac-Man, then is it was she Pac-Man's sister?
She could have been.
Was she? I mean, because people say, well, they were married. Well, then she would be Mrs. Pac-Man, right?
They do look related.
If she were married to Pac-Man, that's why Super Pac-Man came out, because he was so happy, he was just beating on his chest and telling the world,
yeah, but,
I can do more.
But if it's Ms. Pac-Man, it must be a cousin. Mark Holliday and I had an in-depth discussion during the news break about this. It would be some sort of blood relation kin to Pac-Man, right? The Pac-Mans. The Pac-Mans. There's Mr. Pac-Man, Ms. Pac-Man.
All I know is she was rocking that bow.
All Grandpa Pac-Man. All right, so your favorite.
Yeah, I would say.
I mean, the Pac-Man
Kong,
family?
Donkey Kong was up in there. Atari and
well, Atari's a unit.
I
not
know,
a game.
But I would just, like, Battleship. I mean, you get on there, Frogger. Those are things that, and of course, Super Mario Brothers. But I really wasn't a video game person.
Frogger? I was not either, but Frogger?
Yeah.
I like some Frogger.
I played Frogger in the day. I am a Madden football lifer. That is, I don't play many video games. The only ones I do, Madden and EA Hockey. I'm only EA Sports, but I have every single Madden game since it came out.
I'm amazed at how far technology has come and how realistic these athletes look. It's mind-blowing, and it can only get better, right?
Yeah, I'm just thinking back to the graphics that we were used to. We thought that's really realistic for a ghost that's being eaten by a circle with a mouth.
And a couple games that became big when I was teenager, you know, before I went into college, but mostly my teenage years. Dance Dance Revolution, a game that I played once or twice. I could really.
Is there video of you playing Dance Dance Revolution?
No, thank goodness.
But also, by the way, if y'all have it, I pay big money for that.
I had friends that were obsessed with that game, Guitar Hero, and they would play it for hours and hours and hours. All I could think was, if you actually, you know, tried to learn the real guitar.
Wait a minute, though. But they have an air guitar competition. I remember when I worked in San Diego, like, this person won big money, like, a couple thousand dollars for air guitar.
Okay, but
and there was a guy who would play on the curb every day, and I promise you, I did not realize that it was not a real guitar. He was that realistic.
Okay, well, then maybe you blow up my theory, and my theory is that for men, you know, playing the actual guitar will serve them better through their bachelorhood than playing air guitar. From a lady's perspective.
Yeah, ladies don't love the air guitar.
If you were making
eye contact with her, you could play the air flute, the air recorder, and that's your girl.
That's some good eyes then. You got some dang good eyes.
The air flute.
I am backing away from this. I'm just stepping backwards and backwards and backwards.
Air piano?
Away from that.
I mean, whatever you want
to. You can try
you
to save
tickle
it,
those ivories.
But air flute.
You're so wrong. It's not even Friday.
It's so many ways.
You're so in timeout.
Laura Ingram on the way next. I'll be back for Midday Mobile today at noon. And then I'll be emceeing a bartender contest as I am typecast.
Cheers!
5:30 tonight at Alchemy. Y'all have a great one. A lot of money, but I'm bringing